Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I want us to think this morning of the blessings we have in Christ, or what we have in Christ. The benefits of being in Christ. I'm going to look at the positive, but I'm also going to look at it in a negative way. Because there are people who are not in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, then these great benefits cannot be claimed by you. For Paul has proclaimed in verse 3 of Ephesians 1 that all spiritual blessings concerning heavenly things are in Christ. And I believe the world can be divided this morning into those who are in Christ and those who are not in Christ. And being in Christ gives you the benefits and the blessings. And they tell us what we have as those who are in Christ. They'll not be all of those things that the Scriptures reveal to us as being available to us or being what Christ does for us, but there are some that I hope will cause we who are in Christ to think and to rejoice, to be glad, to be happy, and to pray for those who are not in Christ. And I do pray, as we have sung, I do pray that if you're not in Christ this morning, you will learn the tragedy that comes from living a life outside of Christ. What do we mean in Christ? We know that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus and said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Being in Christ is being born again. Being in Christ is being saved. How do we get in Christ? How can I get in Christ? You can get into Christ like every other human has gotten into Christ. There's but one way. He is the door. I am the door. By me, if any man would enter in, you have to enter in through the door. Christ is the door. We get into Christ by trusting into Him, by believing in Him, by accepting for our own benefit, for our own salvation, what He has done for us. All humans on this earth are either in Christ or out of Christ. If you're in Christ this morning, I want you to rejoice. If you're out of Christ, I hope that you will, even before this message concludes, accept Christ as your personal Savior and be born again into Him and into the family of God and to a beneficiary of all those things that Christ has done for us. First of all, I think we need to accept a fact. We need to accept the fact that Christ is the Lamb of God. That's how we get started. John, in his baptismal statement, said these words, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." We also understand that Christ died for all. So we accept, first of all, the fact of our own sins. And we take responsibility for our own sins. And we know that our sins have separated us from God. They stand as a barrier to being well-pleasing to God, to being in the family of God, to being one who can claim the blessings of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And I believe that Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, when He died His sacrificial death on cross and shed His blood, He died for me. And I accept that with all my heart, with all my intellect, and with all of my being. I accept that Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, died for me and shed His blood for me. And because I do believe in Christ as the sacrificial Lamb of God, and because I do trust His blood and His blood alone for the salvation of my soul, I have Christ as my high priest. Christ is the high priest of God, my hope beyond the veil. The Bible tells us that He went in and sprinkled His blood and made His help available to us all. So I have a high priest. That's one of the great blessings I have because I'm in Christ. But if you don't have Christ, if you're not in Christ, this morning you do not have a high priest. You do not have someone beyond the veil who is at that particular point in time making your case and your soul a subject before God. What I want you to understand is that all of us need someone standing between us and God. For no man can come and stand before God in his own power, in his own strength, in his own reputation, in any goodness that he might claim, or any genealogical history that he might be proud of. We must stand before God as sinners. But when we claim the precious blood of Christ, then Christ becomes the high priest for us in our lives. That is a benefit that God's people have who are in Christ, but you do not have that blessing if you're not in Christ. We also have Christ as the mediator. I claim Christ as my high priest. I claim Christ as my mediator. The Bible tells us that there is one God and one mediator between God and men. What? The man Christ Jesus. And you know what that does? It excludes every other man on this earth who has ever lived. It excludes Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. It excludes your mother. It excludes your father. Your dad cannot be your mediator between you and God for salvation. Your mother cannot be your mediator between God and man for your salvation. This church, although we have just voice that we're praying for you, cannot be your mediator between you and God. It has to be Jesus Christ. He is the mediator between both God and man. This word mediator means one who intervenes between two parties. I'm glad I can come before God with Jesus Christ on my side and plead my case before Him, because that's what He does according to 1 John 2:1-2. Christ is the advocate. He pleads my case before Almighty God. The Bible tells us that when we come to God, we come as sinners. John wrote, "My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not." He's never going to put His stamp of approval upon our sins. So John said, "I'm not telling you that it's right to sin. But here's what I am telling you. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Who is it that is our advocate? Jesus Christ. And He's the righteous person. And He, that's Jesus Christ, is the propitiation or the satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So I have an attorney. a spiritual attorney who's never lost a case. He is my advocate, and he has paid the price, and he's pleading my case, and he is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If you are outside of Christ this morning, you do not have an advocate. You do not have an high priest. You do not have a mediator. There's another blessing that I have because I'm in Christ, and that is he is the intercessor. He is my hope. The Bible tells us that wherefore he is able to save also to the uttermost everyone that comes to God by him, seeing that he lives, ever lives to make intercession for them. What does the word intercession mean? It means to fall in with, to meet and talk with. The emphasis is working, this emphasizes that he's working on behalf of one party. Jesus works on man's behalf before Almighty God. These are different words that explain in a different way what it means to be in Christ. Notice, he's able to save them to the uttermost, that is, forevermore, that come unto God, not by themselves, not without a high priest, not without an advocate, not without a mediator, but they come before him with someone who is righteous. And he's the only righteous man that's ever lived on this earth. He's our attorney. He makes intercession for us. He pleads our case. But if you do not believe in him to the salvation of your soul, if you're out of Christ, if you're not in Christ, and you must trust him to be in him, you must believe in him to be in him, you must accept what he did for you to be in him. But if you have not done this, then you're not in Christ. You're out of Christ. He is not your intercessor. He is not your advocate. He is not your high priest. He is not your mediator. But you can have him in all of these aspects and in all of these relationships if you will trust in him and believe in him. Also, as one of the great benefits of being in Christ is that he is my justifier. Now that sounds like a strange word, but we read in Romans 3:26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. Now, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. That he might be what? Christ is just, and he can declare us just because he is the justifier. He is the one who makes the decision before God whether we are just or not. This word justifier means to set forth as righteous, to justify by a judicial act, by a judicial decision to free a man from his guilt and to represent him as righteous. That's what Jesus did. Why? Because he was righteous. And because he was righteous, he has access to God. And because we trust in Jesus Christ, then he can tell God, this is a righteous person. We can forgive his sins. We can remove his guilt. We can bestow upon him a life that is everlasting. We can bestow upon him the birth that is from above. Why? Because I am just and God is just, and I have justified this man by accepting his belief in me as the Savior of mankind. If you do not believe in Christ as Savior, you may believe in Christ intellectually as an historic figure. You may say, I know that Jesus Christ lived and walked this earth, that he was a mighty man, that he did miracles. You may even believe that he died on the cross. You may believe that he was buried and rose again the third day. But have you appropriated those facts, those spiritual truths to your own personal soul? Do you say, he died for me, he was crucified for me, he rose for me, and I believe and trust all of those facts and then you can be in Christ. But if you haven't done that, just believing in the historic existence of Jesus is not salvation. Jesus is my shepherd. I know we use the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. But in the book of Hebrews, we read these words, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." And you know what that means? It is this, that it makes you perfect in every good work. And the word perfect here means mature or complete. That he makes you mature or complete in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. You know, we memorize the 23rd Psalm, and it's a good psalm to memorize. We use it at funerals to comfort the families, and it's a wonderful psalm to comfort with. But can you say factually, can you say truthfully, the Lord is my shepherd? You say, no, I don't know. What do you mean, Brother Penn? I mean that if you are not in Christ, the Lord is not your shepherd. Is that startling information? Does that overwhelm you? Do you say, but the Lord is my shepherd? He is not your shepherd as far as salvation is concerned until you are in Christ. Because it states here, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Are you under the everlasting covenant that was sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ when he died on the cross and sprinkled it before the eternal mercy seat in the presence of Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth? If you have not accepted that offering that was made for sin, you are not in Christ. You're not a sheep of Christ. Christ is my forerunner. And this is very important. In Hebrews 6:20 it states, whither the forerunner is for us entered, that is within the veil, even Jesus, made an high priest evermore after the order of Melchizedek. Not many times do I hear people talking about Christ as the forerunner. But it means one who comes to a place whither the rest are to follow. And Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. He is the forerunner. It's like the people who settled our nation. There were forerunners. Not four as in number, but men who went before. For instance, Daniel Boone was a forerunner. He came into Kentucky and explored it. Then he went back and brought many people with him to settle in that land. And that's the expression that's used here, that Jesus Christ is our forerunner. And he has entered into that which is beyond the veil. That's where Jesus Christ entered. That's where he is today, beyond the veil that he entered by shedding his own blood. He gained the right to enter beyond that veil where no humans could go who had not been so subscribed by the law of Moses. But he's there, a forerunner. What's his purpose? He's preparing a place for us so that when he comes again, he can gather together all of those who are in him and take them out of this world, away from this sin, and into his presence forevermore. Thank God and praise God. He is our forerunner. He's not up there sitting on his hands. He's making intercession for us. He is our high priest. He's the only man that could go and do what needs to be done. And he's coming back again, and he's going to receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. So I ask you this morning, are you in Christ? Or are you standing out of Christ? Have you gone through the door? Or are you simply standing on the outside, looking at the open door with all of its beckoning calls? This morning, we're going to sing this hymn again. I'm praying for you. Because that's all we can do. No one can go into the inner sanctum of the human heart. We cannot invade your soul. The only being that can come into the inner sanctum, that holy of holy places, the will and the heart of another person, is the Holy Spirit of God, the truth of God. This morning, we will do what we can. That is to tell the truth. And then pray for you as we stand and sing this hymn of invitation. I hope that as you sing this hymn, you will have someone in this congregation that's in your mind. You may be thinking of someone that you know in this congregation who has never made a profession of faith. They have never said to the world, I am in Christ. As we sing prayerfully, will you come this morning and trust in Christ?
I have a Savior, he's pleading in glory, a dear loving Savior. For you, I am praying for you.